Hello everybody, it's MoosTall23 back in their video. I'm just going to do a quick sound check before getting into the video. Alright, so the sound is working. Alright, so in this video, I want to talk about a word which is used in the Bible. It's a biblical term. It's used actually seven times in the Holy Bible, and it's misunderstood by many people. So I've talked about this before on this channel. I've talked about what it means and what the Bible teaches concerning this matter. And unfortunately, a lot of people misinterpreted what I believe concerning this word and what the Bible says about it. So I'm going to clear up in this video what a reprobate is, what that word means. First, to simply define what I'm talking about and to explain this doctrine. Now, the Bible clearly shows that there are some people who will never be forgiven of their sins, or who simply can't be saved. Jesus said that those who blaspheme the Holy Ghost never have forgiveness in Matthew 12, 31 to 32, and in Mark chapter 3, verse 29. Now, the Bible uses the word reprobate to describe these same people who Jesus says will not have forgiveness in this world, neither in the world to come, in Matthew chapter 12. So the word reprobate, it means rejected. The first use of the word is in Jeremiah 6, 30, where it defines the word. It says, "Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them." So one is called a reprobate when they are rejected by God, according to the Bible. So simply, this doctrine is that people who have a knowledge of the gospel and are reproved of their sin by the Spirit, but refuse to put their faith in Christ, and they choose to harden their hearts instead, they're given up by God to a reprobate mind, and they're blinded so that they cannot be saved. Now, many will attack this doctrine. They'll say it's unbiblical. They'll come up with false ideas about what I'm saying, and just kind of misquote my words and things like that, and other people who believe this, even though it's clearly supported by many verses, especially in Romans chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to go through the entirety of that chapter in Romans 1, but as a synopsis, it starts out by talking about those who know the truth of God in verse 18 and verse 19. It says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. For that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." So it's talking about people who know the things of God, who God has shown the things of God to. These people know about God. They know the gospel. It's clear to them. Okay. Then in the following verses, it tells us they rejected this truth. It says, "For when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." And then in verse 24, it says that God gave them up uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. In verse 26, it says God gave him up to vile affections. And in verse 28, it says he gave them over to a reprobate mind. And then if you look into other verses which use the same word, the word reprobate, such as in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7 to 8, it says that those who are reprobate are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So simply put, they're never able, it's impossible for them to acknowledge the truth because they've been blinded by God. So there are several misunderstandings about this doctrine. I did a live stream a few months ago in which people accuse me of teaching things like Calvinism, which never came out of my mouth, and I never said anything of the sort. So in this video, I'm going to clarify some things, of course, with biblical support and quoting from what the Bible has to say, because we should rely on what Scripture says about this and not rely on what mankind says, because this doctrine is controversial to some people. Some people don't want to believe it because they have their own preconceived notions of what the Bible says without actually, you know, quoting the Bible or seeing what the Bible has to say about these things. So if the Bible says that one who blasphemes the Holy Ghost can never be forgiven, we ought to believe that. Okay, that's what it means. It means what it says. So there's six misunderstandings that I'm going to discuss. The first two are related because they both deal with the false claim that the reprobate doctrine is equivalent to Calvinism. So misunderstanding number one, the first one I'm talking about this video, is that the reprobate doctrine teaches Calvinism in that it denies the unlimited atonement of Christ. But this is false. It does not do that. It's stated clearly in Scripture that Christ died for everybody, and he offers the free gift of salvation to everybody. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, it says he tastes death for every man. In 1 John 2, 2, it says he's a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So Christ's atonement is effective for everybody, and thus he says in John 12 that when he was lifted up on the cross, all men were drawn to him. However, this does not mean that everybody is saved or will be saved. There is the condition of faith. The Bible says he that believeth that he that believeth not shall be damned in Mark 16:16. Somebody who does not put their faith in Christ will not be saved. They need to put their faith in Christ. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So a reprobate, according to its biblical definition, and not that which is falsely given in Calvinism, is a person who has been rejected by God, as already pointed out by Jeremiah 6:30. So these people have been rejected by the Lord and given over to a reprobate mind. Now, it's not that they didn't have the chance to be saved. It's that they lost that chance. Christ died for people who are reprobates. His atonement is still effective for them. The problem is not that they cannot be saved by the blood of Christ. The Bible makes it clear in 1 John 1:7 that the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. It's able to wash away all sin, no matter what it is. There's no sin that can't be washed away by the blood of Jesus. But with reprobates, the fact is that they cannot perform the condition upon which one is justified, which is faith. It's not that their sins can't be washed away, it's that they can't believe. So in other words, they can't put their faith in Jesus, and therefore they won't be justified. So I have not said, nor will I ever say on this channel or anywhere else, that the sacrifice of Christ is not sufficient to forgive the sins of reprobates. It definitely can. However, the Bible tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. Without faith, we are not justified, we're not saved. Now, concerning reprobates, the Bible says simply that they're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth in 2 Timothy 3:7. Now, during the ministry of Jesus, it's specifically said that some were blinded by God. The Bible says about some of the Pharisees, it says in John chapter 12, verse 39 to 40, therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. So it says that they could not believe, meaning they were unable to, just as 2 Timothy 3:7 says, and the reason why is given in verse 40, because they've been blinded by God. So they could not see, and they could not hear, and they could not be converted. This is clearly a biblical doctrine that there are some who are rejected by God and given over to a state where they cannot believe. It's not that their sins can't be washed away. It's not that Christ's atonement is effective for everybody. It's that they cannot perform the condition upon which one is justified. So the second misunderstanding about this doctrine is also related to Calvinism, and that's the idea, the false idea, that the reprobate doctrine teaches Calvinism because it teaches that God chooses who will be damned or who will be saved. Now that's false. Calvinism's doctrine of unconditional election is that God predestinates or foreordains certain men for salvation or to damnation according to no condition. And that if one is elected, they will be called, they will be given faith by God, so it's not their own will. The faith will be forced upon them. They'll be given that faith, and then they'll be justified. Now, another Calvinist doctrine, which is called irresistible grace, teaches that one's salvation is not dependent whatsoever upon one's own will. So they teach that if God's going to give grace to you, you can't do anything to resist it. Okay, he gives that gift, and you don't like make the choice to receive it or to reject it. You get it if God chooses you to receive grace. So Calvinists believe that God chooses people to be saved and then gives them that grace, which they cannot accept or resist. It comes based upon nothing but the action of God. That's Calvinism. Now, the reprobate doctrine is actually the opposite. Rather, one's justification is dependent upon their will in response to the call to believe. Because Jesus said in Revelation 22:17, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. But reprobates are those who have been called and convicted, but who resist the free gift of salvation upon understanding the gospel and are thus given up by God. As I quoted from earlier in Romans 1, it explains that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Now in 2 Timothy 3:8, it says that those who are reprobate concerning the faith, it says, so do also resist the truth. So these have not been chosen by God to damnation before the beginning of time. Okay, they chose damnation themselves by resisting the truth. It's not that God foreordained them to be damned. They chose to be damned. Now, it's not that they've been foreordained to reject the gospel. They rejected by their own will. And afterwards, God gave them up to reprobation. So that's what we need to understand, that it's always the reprobate that takes the first step. In Romans 1, it says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It says in verse 23 also that they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. And it says that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So it's all about them and what they do first. They make the first move. They reject the truth. And then God gives them over to reprobate mind. Now in 2 Peter 2 also, in verse 20 to 22, it says that they have known the way of righteousness, but they turned from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So they give this, they're given this holy commandment to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they decide to turn from that. It's their decision. Once they do that, they've hardened their heart. God then hardens their heart, and they cannot believe beyond that point. So the third misunderstanding in this video is the false idea that the reprobate doctrine teaches salvation by obedience to the law. Now, this misunderstanding comes from the concept that I claim that all sodomites are reprobates. So they will say, and by they, I mean people who will claim that I'm wrong and attack me for believing this, they will say, you believe that one must abstain from sin in order to be saved, which is, of course, false. I've never said that on this channel. Anybody who's watched any of my videos about the gospel knows that I don't believe that. Reprobates become reprobates upon rejecting the gospel and refusing to believe. Remember what 2 Peter chapter 2 says. It says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, it says that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And in verse 8, it says they resist the truth. In Romans 1, it says they changed the truth of God into a lie. They did not believe the truth. They rejected and corrupted it. So consider the case of Pharaoh in the book of Exodus, the Pharaoh of the Exodus. He hardened his heart at first before God began to harden his heart. So in Exodus chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, verse 22, chapter 8, verse 15, verse 19, verse 32, and chapter 9, verse 7, it's all Pharaoh hardening his own heart when he sees the 10 plagues and he refuses to believe the Lord. He hardens his own heart first. Then after that, after the plague of boils, there's the change in which it says, starting in Exodus chapter 9, verse 12, that the Lord hardened the heart of the Pharaoh. And it says this again throughout chapters 10 and chapters 11. So first, it was the Pharaoh that hardened his heart, and then God did. Okay, it's the person who makes the first step of refusing to believe. So the wickedness of the reprobates also is not the cause of the reprobation. It's the result. So the reprobate doctrine does not teach a false gospel because they're not rejected for their sins, but for their unbelief. It says in Romans 1, 28 and 29 that they're filled with all unrighteousness only after God gives them over to reprobate mind. That's the result of reprobation, not the reason why they're reprobates. So misunderstanding number four, the reprobate doctrine teaches that homosexuality or sodomy is an unforgivable sin. Now it ties in with the last one. Now again, that's false. That's not true. The only unforgivable sin, according to the Bible, is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Jesus made that very clear. He said in Matthew 12, verse 31 to 32, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. He said, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. So never means never. That's pretty clear in the Bible. If Christ says that the blasphemers of the Holy Ghost will not be forgiven, then it's true. They won't be forgiven. We ought to believe what he says, and that is the only unforgivable sin. He said all manner of sin except for this. Okay, that means everything else besides blasphemy of the Holy Ghost can be forgiven. So being a sodomite is a condition. It's a result of reprobation. It's not the cause of reprobation, just like I kind of explained in the last misunderstanding. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. And for this cause is referring to what it says before that, before the, verse 18 to verse 25 says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. So here we see that the men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving this in themselves the recompense of their error, which is meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So here we have in verse 26 and 27. The Sodomites are mentioned. It says that these are those who burn in their lust one toward another, as verse 26 says. Then this is the result of God giving them over to vile affections. They did not become reprobates because they were Sodomites. They became Sodomites because they were reprobates. It's the opposite of what people are claiming that I'm saying. So notice how in verse 26, it says they left natural use into that which is against nature. The Bible teaches that man is by nature the children of wrath in Ephesians 2:3. It says that there hath no temptation taking you such as is common to man. Sin that I'm talking about here, sodomy, it's against nature. Okay, it's not something that normal people are tempted with. Even in the world, even the normal unsaved people, the majority of unsaved people out there do not have any temptations regarding this. Okay, it's not common at all. It's only a result of this reprobate mind that comes upon people who reject God and who hate God. So one cannot commit this sin or become a sodomite unless they first reject, but one can still commit the sin of homosexuality for other reasons. For example, drunkenness, love of money, experimentation, etc. You know, people can still do these wicked things without burning in their lust one toward another, as Romans 1 says. The Sodomites are those reprobates who are constant lust one toward another, according to that chapter. So again, the lust is not why God gave them up. They were rejected because of their blasphemy of the Holy Ghost and because they hardened their heart to the truth. Though upon doing so, they became reprobates, and they were filled with all wickedness, including the sin of being a Sodomite. So I hope that makes sense. So misunderstanding number 5 is that the reprobate doctrine teaches that one can lose their salvation, and that's, once again, false. Jesus taught that one's salvation is eternally secure. He said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die," in John chapter 11, verse 26. But obviously the condition to have everlasting life in the first place, even according to this verse, is to believe on him. If somebody does not believe on him, they won't have everlasting life. So as already mentioned, the reprobates don't believe on him. They've hardened their heart to the truth. They don't want to believe. They have a knowledge of God, but they refused to accept the truth. Now, Jesus also taught that one who blasphemes the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, as already shown. Now, since we as Christians have the Holy Ghost inside of us, it's impossible for us to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, "No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse." Now, Jesus said that one can blaspheme himself, so blaspheme the Son, and they will still be forgiven. So blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is evidently much worse, since it can't be forgiven. So therefore, it makes no sense to say that we, having the Holy Ghost inside of us, the Spirit of God, will ever blaspheme the Holy Ghost if we can't even blaspheme Jesus if we have the Holy Ghost inside of us. Our sins have already been forgiven as well, as testified by many scriptures, such as Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:14. So we've already been saved. Our sins have already been forgiven. We've already been declared righteous. The reprobates are those who are unsaved, who blaspheme the Holy Ghost before they get saved, okay, because they're unsaved, and thus they become reprobates. They're not saved people that fall into sin and lose their salvation. You can't lose your salvation. These are they who know the truth, as it says in Romans 1:18, but they call the Holy Ghost, which reproves them of their sin, a liar, and thus lose their chance to be saved. So misunderstanding number 6, this is the last one. It's the idea that the reprobate doctrine is hateful, but God doesn't hate anybody, so it must be false. I say false to that as well. Although it's hateful towards reprobates, it's not a gospel of hate. The world by majority is not under the curse of reprobation. The vast majority of people in this world are unsaved sinners in need of a savior who have never heard the gospel. And that's why Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The reprobates, however, are dangerous children of Belial who seek to impede God's plan of this world. And an example of that is Nabal in 1 Samuel 25. He's described as a man of Belial and a son of Belial. And Belial is another name for the devil. It means worthlessness, and he's described as churlish and evil in his doings in that chapter. In verse 17, it says that he's such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. So this shows exactly what these other scriptures have shown, such as in 1 Timothy 3, that these people are filled with all unrighteousness, and their heart has been so hardened that they will never listen to the truth. They're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, just like Nabal. Okay, no man can speak to him. He doesn't listen to anything anybody says. He has hardened his heart to that point. So it's also truth that one cannot love one without hating another. One cannot love children and love those who harm the children, harm children at the same time. That's contradictory. Jesus said, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea, in Matthew 18:6. One cannot love a pedophile and love the innocent children which they seek to harm. That doesn't make any sense. Even Jesus said these words. You can't tell me that these words are loving. Taking a millstone around somebody's neck and dragging them into a sea and letting them drown, that's not a very loving thing to say. Secondly, it's also false, based on this misunderstanding, that God does not hate anybody. I've heard that plenty of times, and I'm honestly sick of hearing it because it's not in the Bible. And we as Christians, even Baptists say this, and we as Baptists, of course, stand on the authority of God's word alone and not on what man says. But that's a worldly philosophy of hate the sin and not the sinner. It's not in the Bible. That's a quote from Mahatma Gandhi's 1929 autobiography. It's not in the Bible. He was a man who worshipped false gods. He hated Christianity. He's the one who came up with his doctrine. The Bible, on the other hand, it clearly speaks of God's hatred towards evildoers, and it speaks of his judgment and wrath upon the wicked. So consider the following verses. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 5, it says, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Psalm 10:3, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. Proverbs 6:19, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Now, in this last one, it specifically says that the Lord hates a false witness that speaks lies. And then it also says, he that soweth discord among his brethren. These are specific people that he's talking about, not just sins, but the sinner. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 30, God says to the Israelites, and I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. In Hosea chapter 9, verse 15, it says, all their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5, it says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. It's saying the people who do this are an abomination. It's not saying their sin is an abomination. It's saying that the people who are doing this are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. So all these scriptures say that the evildoer is abominable to God. It says that God hates them, abhors them, etc. So it's foolish to say that God shows unconditional love to every person regardless of their spiritual condition. Those who are filled with unrighteousness, the Lord hates. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 20 to 21, do not I hate them that hate thee, O Lord. Yea, I hate them with a perfect hatred. Now, David spake by the Holy Ghost. Okay, this is inspired scripture here. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God. This is inspired scripture here where David is saying this. And yet you have Christians today who will attack you for saying that you despise reprobates, despite the fact that in Romans chapter 1, it says that these reprobates are filled with all unrighteousness. And in verse 30, it specifically says that they're haters of God. And yet you have this verse in the Old Testament where it says, do not I hate them that hate thee, O Lord? Yes, I hate them with a perfect hatred. So David, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said that he hated those who hated God. And even God himself said he hated the workers of iniquity. And yet somehow we're unrighteous if we have the same attitude. It just makes no sense. So that's the last thing, the last of the six misunderstandings. I don't understand why people are so against this doctrine. It's something that Christians have taught for a long time. It's just this new kind of movement, this new age kind of depart from the Bible where everybody just wants to appease man and not stand on the word of God, no matter what everybody says about it. You know, a lot of these misunderstandings, you know, sometimes it's not even just misunderstanding. Sometimes it's flat out lies about what I and other Baptists who believe this believe. Okay. It shows an awful interpretation of the scriptures. Okay. This, you can show clearly from the Bible that this is the truth. There's absolutes, you know, he that blasphemes the Holy Ghost and never forgiveness. That's an absolute. There's no misunderstanding about what it says unless you're just flat out denying what it says. So the word reprobate is in scripture. All this is in scripture. I use the Bible in this video. We ought to believe what the Bible says, no matter how controversial it is to those without or how much opposition you receive for it. It's what the Bible says. If we're Christians, that's what we believe. So thank you, everybody, for watching. Australian Jock says all reprobates are gay. I wouldn't be surprised if you're a reprobate, honestly. All right. Thank you, everybody, for watching, and goodbye. God bless you.